Good morning to you all. Good to see you. I think I'm going to get a little bit of smiling. If you're too serious, I'll run away. So it will be good to see a bit of smiling. Even if I'm saying things that are not what you're expecting. It's been a challenge to prepare this sermon or preach. I can say the passage of scriptures I was mandated to share with you is quite long, so if I go over time, it's not my fault. I'm just a messenger, so bear that in mind, although I won't go anything beyond 30 minutes on my overtime, that is. So I've been given basically 30 minutes. So, starting now. Right. Yeah, I think I should be in time. Yeah. So, the passage which I was given, I could say is the kind of the horror, not in a scary way, but for us to also check on ourselves in terms of our spiritual lives. Thank you, Roy, for what you just said. He said we need to be active. We need our spiritual man to be active. And this passage of scriptures shows that we need to ignite that. We need to bring that to life. So it's from Mark 5, 1 to 20. And I'm going to read from New Living Translation. I'm not a version person, but I've been told to read New Living Translation because it gives us a bit of, like, you know, interesting, or say it a bit clearer. So I've printed it out. I don't have the copy. My birthday is coming. Just get me the copy if you want. So I shall start to read from verse 1. Jesus heals a demon-possessed man. So they arrived at the other side of the lake, in the region of Gerasenes, when Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains with his wrists and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night, he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, hollowing and cutting himself with sharp stones. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to him, and bowed low before him. With a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man. Then the evil spirit begged him again and again not to send them to some distance place. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. "Send us into those pigs," the spirits begged. "Let us enter them." So Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs. And the entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. The herdsmen fled to the nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who he had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there, fully clothed and perfectly sane. And they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what had happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs. And the crowd began pledging with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus said, "No, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been." So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of the region and begin to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told them. I want to say it will be unfair or unjust for you to dine today without giving you a starter. This is the main course, but I want to give you a starter. By that I mean I have to give you the other part which leads up to this situation, which is Mark 4 from verse 35 to 41. This is the bit when Jesus was still on the other side before he crossed the lake. So it was like in the evening, so as it is said in the scriptures. And I think it was really difficult. I don't know how you would walk with a man like Jesus. He was not like what we do here today. We actually know what's coming out on this month or next month because things are already detailed out. We get calendars that tell us what's coming in. But Jesus just said to his disciples, "Let's cross over to the other side." And it was evening. And from what it says here, then, you know, it was about to rain. And I think they were using the boats, you know, the boat that doesn't have any tents or to cover you. And Jesus said, "Let's go." I think Jesus had to be like that, because today if we start to try and come up with ways of, you know, doing things together, everyone has got an opinion, so end up not doing anything. But Jesus was a man who just said, "Let's cross over." And I don't know how the disciples dealt with him. Having said that, they all got into the boat, and some of the crowd followed him. Let's just use for illustration's sake. You're crossing over the 5th, you're going to 5. From South Queens Ferry, crossing to 5. Let's just use that as an example. You get in there, boat, you're going soon. Soon. So that means maybe it's about 50, I don't know about yards, but maybe 25 centimeters. They're about 25 centimeters, you know, maybe to that wall. Soon, a fierce storm came up. How come all of a sudden things are changing? We've been on this side and we are going. And then a fierce, there's a spirit behind. That's my topic today. There's a spirit behind. And one of the scriptures is saying that it was of a nature of a hurricane, which is very violent. And I'm surprised. I don't know how you can sleep in such a nasty storm. But Jesus said, or maybe, I don't know if he told them. I think he just took a bag or pillow and then he put his head on the pillow. That's what he said. He never said that he was under a cabin or he was under a tent. He just says, "You went on, have a lie, and he slept." Now, no one is in charge. We are all the same here. Then the boat is now being rocky. Everyone, you know. This is a fierce. This is hard. And I want to believe Peter, being a fisherman, was, you know, he knows this stuff. "I've been in the boats. Let's turn around. Let's go back. Let's go back right now." Peter is in charge. Did he consult Jesus? No. Jesus is asleep. "Let's go back." That's Peter. Today, we're in that situation. America is saying, let's go back, close our borders, build the walls. Disunity kicks in the boat. Every man is of his own now. They're coming in with their own issues. Get a bucket. Let's get the water out. That's another disciple. He's giving his own directives. And they're seeing themselves dying and drowning. But they've got the man himself, the all-knowing in the Godheads, Jesus Christ. Didn't bother. Are we in that situation where we are being tossed back, forth? The boat is about to break. See, when people are under pressure, we are blinded. Maybe at some point Peter was slapped by a big trout from the sea. Couldn't see anything. And the sea would just come over, flies on his face. He can't see where they're going. Things are really getting out of hand here. And that's when people start to bring out our true colors. You've never seen me. Someone just cuts me off. Thank God I'm nearly there. I no longer get road rage. Road rage just comes. It's not something you plan, or, you know, someone just drives right in front of you or just cuts you off. Now, I've been working on it. I'm better now. Just thank you, Lord. And these are the things. When you're under pressure, what comes into your mouth? What kind of words do they come? You start to hear words which we all don't usually say. At times, swear words will come like, say it right now. And you have to go back and say, I am saved of God. I'm not going to say. This is the thing that was happening. There was that misunderstanding, probably, in the boat. And Peter... I'm going to use Peter because Peter, he's the church. He's the rock. You know, when he identified Jesus and Jesus said, this is the church. He's the rock which I'm going to build upon the church. So, and Peter is a very liberal disciple. He will say things which at times are like wrong and in a wrong way. At one time when Jesus said, he said to Jesus, Jesus had to say to him, get behind this Satan. And it was Peter was speaking. So you can see the nature of Peter. So I just like to use Peter because, you know, Peter is like at times us. We just miss it and then say the wrong thing. And I think Peter was annoyed with what was going on. And the next thing, teacher, don't you care that we may drown? I think he wasn't saying it in a nice way. I think he was about, I'm done with this now. It's either, you know, you better wake up, Jesus, and deal with this. You know, so his approach was like, you got to be doing something because everyone has been running about and we're not going anywhere. And Jesus woke up. Are we waking Jesus up in our lives when things go wrong, when things are out of hand? Do we turn around and take that time and say, Lord, I've tried my best. It's not working out. I'm not going anywhere. The boat is just going in circles. Now it's about to break. Can you let me out? Do we stop? Because in a storm, that's when at times we are blinded. We are blinded by the waves. Like Roy was just saying, at times we look at here, we're not looking at there. And Jesus woke up. He woke up. Silence. Be still. Paradise come in. The blue waters. Do you have the paradise? The blue waters. That came in. Because he spoke. And things changed. And I'm like, wow. I want to believe at the time if they had some sheds to put on your sheds, if you're wearing your clothes, they were wet and you're hanging them to dry out and put your feet up and you're smooth sailing and so on. You know, just like, oh, this is good, you know. And they were asking him, like, what kind of a man is he? This is the thing that they didn't realize. Jesus doesn't sleep. He does not sleep nor slumber. He doesn't sleep. The Bible is just giving us an illustration that Jesus can be sleeping in some of the storms which we are going through. We need to stop. Wake him up. Jesus was in a battle. This is where I'm saying it was going to be difficult for me to go into the main course without telling you what had happened here. Jesus was in the fight, in the spirit, behind everything of where he was going. They arrived there. Next thing, they come across the man who was demon-possessed. He ran towards Jesus himself. He ran towards him. And he acknowledges who Jesus was. This is the thing where the storm was just not a storm we should take lightly. Certain things that are happening in our lives or happening in this world today, it's not just the way they present themselves. There's a spirit behind. Today the world is not at peace. There's disunity. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What happened? Each nation is standing against each other and say, you started the war. The West is being accused of starting the war, killed people, and people are coming now as refugees. They're seeking somewhere to live a peaceful life. And the West is going back again and say, no, we don't want. Shut the doors, lock the doors, lock the borders. The world is not at peace. The world needs to stop. You and me need to stand in the gap and pray for the world and pray for peace to prevail, for unity amongst nations. Jesus, this is now the crux of the matter, the real fight. The demon-possessed man comes to Jesus. And he had to ask him, why are you tormenting us? So there's been a communication that has been happening prior to their physical meeting with this man who's demon-possessed. We need to be active spiritually. We need to be spiritually aware of what's happening in the background. And the spirit starts to identify Jesus, who he was. The enemy is a deceiver, friends. He's bringing in people or things that we think they're innocent. Because this man says, the Son of the Most High God. To me, once you say that, once anything says that, we want to relate to it and assume they are of Christ. They are of us. But now we need that spirit that descends, that cuts across everything. We got to approach everything. Not necessarily everything, but we need to have that conscience of checking things spiritually. What are we bringing into our lives? The enemy has created, what I could say, he has dressed up sin and bring it to us. And it looks innocent and acceptable, and it is trendy to say. Today there are things like products to say. There is a kid's product called Monster. It's for the innocent, young as they are. They're being groomed into that. These things are being sold. I actually bought it for my daughter. Because I didn't know, Lorraine. I didn't know. Now I know. Now I know. Definitely, there are things that we're going to see. That, you know, people buy these things assuming that they are innocent. But they're not. But this is the death. Death is being marketed to young children. And, you know, we've got birthdays, we do, and their friends bring these things. And I still remember one of our friends bought one of the dolls. I can't remember which one. I think it's that one, and stick it in the house. You know, you just put it on top of a work or drawer or chest of drawers. And at night time, when you turn off the light, it starts to kind of glows. To us, we say it's the material that they've used. That's the conclusion, because you know when you turn off the lights, you see those signs. At times they can reflect. You know, to us we take it that way and say, oh, it's just the way it is made. It's all right. It's, you know, but some of these things, it's the spirit behind. Spirit of death. This man was staying in burial caves, which promotes death, promotes darkness. And these are the things that are being sold today. And they come into our lives, into our houses. I go, girls, they want this. But as a parent, should I just be quiet, blank it out? I need to pray about it and ask God. And I have to teach them. Some of the things are not right. Adults, what do we drink? Something that keeps us going. Oh, that's better, maybe. Not sure about that. Also, Monster. We drink Monster, don't we? You don't. Someone in here, I've seen a car with a sticker for Monster. Not in any way that I can't say, you know, some of these things that they sneak in. The enemy sneaking in the background of our lives, us not knowing. And I'm just going to switch to this lady. She went on to do a bit of research. It's up to you how you take it, but it's also good to kind of see where she was coming from and going with this. And this lady, it's on YouTube, so I'm just going to give you about 2 minutes. So it's 2 minutes of my time. So I hope the sound will be fine.
There's a gap right here in the letter M.
Okay.
It's not connected.
No.
So we go into Hebrew. The letter Vav is also a number 6. It's got a short top and a long tail.
Okay.
A short top and a long tail.
Okay.
You could have here your 666 on the can.
Okay.
But my interest is the word monster. What do you see in the O?
It looks like a cross.
There's a cross. What has Christ got to do with an energy drink, let alone the name Monster? So I thought, well, maybe it's a Christian company.
Mm-hmm.
On the front of the can, it says BFC. Do you know what that stands for?
No.
That's the F word, big can.
Uh-huh.
In fact, it's written on the side of the can. So
can I get a look?
Yep. It's written on the third line down, biggest effing can we could find.
That's
so we
disgusting.
Know that that is the F word.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you're not familiar with the term MILF, it's an acronym.
Okay.
MILF.
Uh-huh.
It means a mother I'd like to.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is on the box. Milks, dig it, and you will too.
That's disgusting.
That breaks two commandments right there. This is not a Christian company at all. So why would the cross be on the can? Here is the message. Antichrist. 666 in Hebrew. And then the Bible talks about the beast in Revelation. And look at Monster's ad. That is their statement. Unleash the beast. We see these M's everywhere. Hats, t-shirts, bumper stickers. Is there another agenda? If God can use people and products, so can Satan.
Yeah.
And even if we don't look at the M as an issue, let's just say that's not even there. You cannot deny that that is a cross. And what is witchcraft? It's when the cross goes upside down. How much blasphemy can you do by drinking from a monster drink? Call yourself a Christian. Pay attention. This is how the devil gets it.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
Thank you. That's one product that has been identified. And they're not just ending there. They're buying things. They're making mansions, like, you know, T-shirts and cap. And these things are, you get that as your present, and you put it on, and it's promoting the dark side. It's promoting things which are not clean before God. The enemy is sneaking into our lives. This man did not sleep. The man was demon possessed, did not sleep. This energy drink, so it's cold, is a beast of its own. That's the spirit in it. That we are not rest. We don't rest. People are going in, cutting themselves. I've come across about 3 people, and they've got like tattooed. I'm not saying don't get tattooed. I'm just sharing with you. So it's up to you. Research it if you want to do it. And people get tattooed. This man, he was enjoying, he was self-harming. This is self-harm because it's painful to those people. Anyone who's got tattoo will tell you that it's so painful. I can't stand a needle. When I go to the door, to the nurse, I don't know if there are people like me. I struggle, right? They're about to, then I say, wait, just give me minutes. And, you know, they've got a long queue. Don't go with me to the nurse, please. And you go there and sit and wait, and they can actually put this. Painful. And you get a wound. You know? Are you scared? Don't worry. You get a... It's a spirit now. And they are painful as it is, but they keep on going. And you ask them, why is that you keep on going? Oh, no, now it has become an addiction. An addiction is a spirit. This is the spirit. They're enjoying self-harm. And this man, that's what he was doing. And the enemy has brought in, the devil has brought it in a fashionable way. Self-harm in the name of tattoo. And what is it preaching? Death. It's all scars. If you go and look into most tattoo homes or shops, they've got, you know, there's a need for us to check, to revisit some of the things that we're allowing into our lives. Are they acceptable for God? Are we allowing the enemy to come beg doors? Even, I'm not going to use this image, I had to sense it out, but perfume as well. Nakedness is being sold in perfume. Spray it, just feel you no longer want to cover your body. It's being sold today. This man was naked. Once the enemy is also, the devil is using these things for us to accept what was defeated. Jesus had to go to the tombs and set this man free, because he himself, he had to go through the tombstone and come out alive. So there was no need for this man to remain in the tombs. Good thing about Jesus swaps places. One of the things I like about Jesus, we swap. You know, there's a duck that is about to come on my back. He turns around. We're dancing. It shoots him. I'm protected. There's another one coming from this side. He turns. Dance with Jesus. Dance with him. A dart is about to come. He's the husband of the church. He protects us. He sees what we don't see. Jesus prays for us. We need to waken him up. Not keep on going in the storm. Toss back and forth without seeing him. Let's look for our Jesus. Let's awaken him. Let's see him alive in every aspect of our lives. Let's not leave the house without going with Jesus. Jesus, I'm not going with you. South Africa. Go to South Africa. I told you about it in the beginning of the year. Go to South Africa. Right, God, give me the money. Got the money. We're going to South Africa. Got stopped by the police. Now, we have to arrest one of... I was with my cousin. And they say, we're going to arrest him now. We're taking him with us. Why are you taking him? Oh, because his insurance is not reflecting that he should be driving anyway. So we're taking him. Then I said, all right, I've got the insurance. You know, I had sorted out everything. I'll drive the car. That's good. You can drive the car. You can go, but we're going with him. And I said, right, I had to pray. You, at times, there's no need for you to worry praying even in along Prince Street where people see you. I started praying. It was like 2 a.m. at night. And then a man from nowhere, just came and say, I've missed my stop. Can you give me a lift where you're going? Well, they were asking the police now. And then they said, can you give me a lift to go back where you're going? Because I can't stay here. And it was from nowhere. And the only place which was left, which they were supposed to take my cousin with, the only person that you'd go with is this man who appeared from nowhere. To me, that was Christ. Thank you, Roy. To me, that was Christ. Christ appears for you in the time of need. He appears for you. He appeared in the darkest places, in the nowhere. And they had to say, right, now you can go. And they started laughing with us that, this man, how can you miss your stop? And now you want to go with us. And we started shaking hands. And they went with this man, and we continued with our journey. I learned something. Christ is in the business of swapping places with us. In our predicament, call Christ to stand. That's why he died on the cross. That you and me have a life. Same thing applies every day of our lives. Let's keep on seeking him. There's a spirit that is bounding some places. You've been to Schiphol, Amsterdam. Anyone who's been to Amsterdam? Amsterdam has got a spirit of, I could say, prostitution. You go there, it's marketed from the airport. Did you see? Has anybody noticed that? That it's one of their marketing strategies in Amsterdam. They sell drugs like marijuana or weed, is it called? Coffee shop. So it's called, you walk in there assuming it's just a coffee shop, but no. See, people are laying and you know, they are relaxed, they don't know where they are and things like that. And you see people actually, I met them, they were from here in Scotland. And I said, oh, so why are you guys here? They were from Aberdeen, apparently. I said, I'm from Edinburgh. I'm staying in Edinburgh. And I said, oh, we are here. You know, we've been to coffee shop. And it was just like people actually make it a point. The way you go to Israel and see, you know, where everything happened and so on, it's the way people actually go to Amsterdam and experience these things. There's a spirit, territorial spirits. There was a spirit in this region. And people chased Jesus when this man was set free. Why? Because he had exposed the spirit that was bounding this place. Same thing that happens. Wherever you go, seek what's there. What kind of spirit is dominating in the area? We need to be aware of that. Jesus dressed this man. To you and me, it's more like someone was naked, but now he's fully dressed and he's of a sane character. But it's not just there. Put on the full armor of God. There he is. That was his commission he was given. He was so in touch and in love with Christ. And he said, can I go with you? He wanted to get into the boat. But Jesus, he said, let's cross. Because Jesus didn't even say anything from Mark 4 when they were going across. He didn't. He only wanted one man. one man, and that one man took on 10 towns in Decapolis. He took on 10 cities or towns himself. And people were amazed by what he was saying. It's not just a mere talk this man had. He had something that is deep. He had Christ in him. That was salvation and the Great Commission at once. And then he went out. God has given us this, the power. He's given us the authority, you and me, today. Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you. Same thing. We need to put on the full armor of God. Wherever we go, that we are not in any way scary, we're not scared at all, but we know He is with us. Christ is with us. Christ is within us. Am I struggling? Are there any things that have come into my life without me knowing? Because some of the things do come in without us knowing. As we have seen here, you might have consumed something that is ordained by the enemy. And this is the time to reflect. See, when there is a need for us to do like self-examination in our hearts. I don't know how about you, but when I wake up in the morning, I always reflect on how was my day? What did I say? These things, they come in the like 5 seconds of me waking up. I'm still trying to go back to, oh, I said this, that was wrong. And you start to see, I know it, but you know, it's self-reflection. Where am I struggling every day? Am I giving Him time? That the Spirit is active in my heart. That I start to minister in people. That I start to heal the sick. That I become active. That I walk in authority. One thing that we should, I always say this, even at home. We've got the authority in Christ Jesus. It's not my authority. But when I pray for you through the authority of Christ Jesus. Your healing is through Christ Jesus. If you get healed, it's not me. It's Christ. So He's with everyone. So when I come and pray for you and the pain is still there, it's not me. It's Christ. I'll come again and pray for you. It's not me. It's Christ. That's how it works, friends. Let's not stop. Let's keep on working in the things of God. And God starts to use us. When I approach people, Tom, I had in Gareth, probably you try to give out a leaflet and people, they throw it right in the bin just after. They don't read. Don't be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. It's Christ. You've given them. In our group, life group, we're talking about reaching out for souls. It's not a one-off thing. You come across one day, you say a word of encouragement, and that person doesn't listen to you. You've done your bit. Let them go. You go to the next person. They come across another day, somebody else, maybe in London, they tell them about Christ. This is how adverts work. Adverts, it's something that is continually being put before you. By the time you want to do your buying, the time you want something, you know, you just say, yes, I was told about this. I know where to go. At times as Christians, we lose power when it comes to reaching out for souls. Why? Because we expect someone, meet them for the first time in their situation and tell them, do you know that Lord Jesus loves you? Do you want to give your life to them? And they tell you something which is really bad. That tomorrow, you just, sorry, I can't join you, Gareth, tomorrow, because yesterday was a bad day. Nobody was keen to listen to me. That's not it. We need the boldness. We need the courage that comes from Christ. Today, I'll just ask you, if you at any time feel maybe, you know, it's a bit of a struggle, because we are expected, friends. We are expected. in any way to always preach the goodness of God. God did not save us for our own joy, but he did it so that we go out there and preach the good news. We might be struggling in that. The enemy is at work. He's showing these things. He's showing nakedness in our eyes. And people are not ashamed. I'm just talking of Jesus Christ here. Give your life to the Lord. I've not told anyone being naked. I've not even advertised this naked. I'm fully dressed. You're fully dressed. Let's talk about Christ right now. But there is an advert which is naked. Someone is not dressed. And it's floating around the billboards. And nobody even says anything. It's not offensive. But you go out there and try to preach Christ, it becomes offensive. Don't be scared. Don't be scared. Go with authority. Just at one time, I just touched this old man and say, "Jesus loves you." And he looked at me in a wee. He was surprised by what I said to him. But I felt I wanted to say something to him. And he asked me, "Why are you saying that?" Then I said, "You've seen good days than I have done. Isn't that good? Jesus loves you." And he was surprised. These are the things that at times we need to just let people know. That our living is not by our own doing, but it is by the Christ. And Christ wants his people. In conclusion, I challenge you this morning to ignite the spirit. Not to live by the natural man, that everything is there, but that Christ is alive in me. I want to see things in the spirit. Join hands with someone in prayer. Join hands with someone in prayer. And have that desire for the spirit to be alive in you. Good thing we here at 3CI, you find 1, 2, 3 people that you can stand with. And just send, you know, text. "Can you pray for me in this area? I'm struggling. I'm struggling in believing." It's true. It does happen. Because the enemy keeps on pulling some other things that just weighs you down. Don't keep yourself in the tombs. And not go out there. Open up. Open up. Man to man. "I'm struggling with pornography. Help me out." No one will laugh at you. Find someone to confide with. I challenge you. We are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. We can do this. We can do this. Let's go out there and preach the goodness of God. And at this time, I'll just leave it over to Gareth to take over. And thank you very much. I guess I was on time. Was I on time? 12 o'clock.
Stay here. One of the... I really liked the question Percy asked. What tombs are we standing in now? What areas of our life are we surrounded with darkness and unable to break free, break those chains and step out? You saw that picture of the man. That is nothing to the picture of our Christ Jesus who lives in us. And so the challenge was, are we seeing the spirit behind things? Are we seeing where the enemy is coming? But are we also seeing the spirit in us? He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And there, I'm so encouraged by this preach, realizing actually, you know what, there is a spiritual battle. We go to work, there's a spiritual battle. We go out, there's a spiritual battle. People are bound in chains. And Jesus set a legion, which was 3,000 to 6,000. 3,000 to 6,000 spirits is a legion. And Jesus said one word, and they were obedient. That is the power in us. And are we living that? And Jesus came to save us so that we could have his joy, so we could have him in us, and he can come and abide in us. And I think it's being assured of that salvation, assured that Jesus has come in, and we being real with acknowledging that Jesus is in us, that we've committed, we've made that statement, Lord, I put my trust in you. Will you come in? Will you come in and in these areas of tombs, would you set me free? Set me free. I think we all struggle in parts in certain things. We still have our chains. But may Jesus come and set us free so that we do not walk bound. We are totally free, filled with the Holy Spirit.